Paul Motard, I guess, is what you're going with now. Is it Paul Johnson? Or oh, did I just tell somebody?
Oh.
So how you doing, buddy?
Oh, we lost
him. Oh, he's on
we
mute now.
I'm good, man. I'm doing all right.
All right, we got to go.
All right, so.
Yeah.
So I guess you're in a new band now called Stories of Teeth.
Yes, that is correct. I've had a
how did that start?
I got lucky. A friend of mine in Austin, I live close to Austin, just south in Kyle, and a friend of mine said, hey, I know a dude who lives in Kyle and he's an old rocker and he might be interested in jamming with you. So I got in touch with him, and that was during COVID, and we practiced weekly together with masks on for about almost a year. And he's a drummer and a keyboard player. He's in several bands. I was in a band at the time, but we really hit it off. And we like, it's really cool. We go in and he's got everything set up to record in his house. So he plays drums and I'll play guitar or bass, and we'll come up with a riff we like. And then we arrange it and start recording. And sometimes we walk out 3 hours later with the whole song done.
Oh, wow.
Nice.
Yeah, it's real cool. I encourage him to do what he wants. He encourages me to do what I want. It's a lot of fun.
So it's a lot different than anything else you've done?
Very, very different. For one thing, we do a lot of improvisation, kind of jam stuff. And he also plays keyboards, and he's good enough to play drums with one hand and keyboards with the other.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
So who's
so
Bad
you guys
Larry?
Play out.
What's that?
Who's Bad Larry?
Bad Larry. I forget who that is. I think it's a phrase that people say. Bad Larry, like just a bad dude.
Okay.
Yeah. Kobe names songs all the time. So we record it, and then that night he'll mix it and things, and he'll give it a name. And if I'm going to write lyrics, a lot of times I'll use what name he gave it to kind of inspire me. But that one ended up being called Slack Panther.
Also got changed.
Yeah, it did. Oh. And there's lyrics on it now. So
you like half of lyrics and half instrumental pretty much? Or
probably, yeah, something like that. We're about to release an album of 13 songs, and they all have lyrics. But the last album we did was all instrumental, and it was a lot of just stuff we come up with. Sometimes it's like completely free form. We play and make it up as we go along. And other times we kind of loosely structure it and just kind of jam on top of it.
Okay. You had a question, Ken?
Yeah. What kind of music would you say that is? Like, it's very experimental, I think, you know?
Yeah, it would fall along that. So my background is garage punk rock. And that's what most of my bands have been. So there are some songs we don't limit ourselves. Sometimes we'll do some fucking hard rock and garage rockers. And then other times we'll, just kind of chill. And, I've never before played slow songs until this band. So we'll do like kind of chill jams sometimes. And, some kind of poppy stuff, some kind of hardcore, you know, headbanging, just like it's whatever we feel like.
So what got you into grunge and punk?
Well, in the 90s, I lived in Austin, and I was playing acoustic guitar. I didn't really know how to play guitar, and I started playing with a friend, and that was Dave Head. And he got a couple other people together, and we started the Motards. And at the time, we were all listening to, like, the Ripoffs out of San Francisco, and the Inhalants in Austin were a big band. Tim Kerr from the Big Boys in Austin had bands going at the same time, like Garage, like Jack of Fire and Poison 13. We loved all that stuff. And I started playing more and learning how to write songs. And Dave and I wrote the songs, most of them. Toby was a bass player. He's still a good friend. He plays around here. He's got a cool band called Yardwork right now. But yeah, so we started playing in Austin. It was crazy. I've never had a band that achieved the success that achieved without trying at all. We were just getting drunk, having fun, playing shows. And about Tim Kerr met us and liked us. And so about 4 months after our first show, we had played at Emo's in Austin downtown, which was the big punk club. And we were there at New Year's Eve on midnight playing. We only knew like six songs.
Oh, wow.
Later on, we got invited to Japan. We went on tour and everything, and it was just like all every step of the way. It was like, what? This is really what?
And
what label picked you up?
We did a lot of independent releases on 7 inches and stuff, but Empty Records out of Seattle put out our first two albums for the Motards.
Sweet.
Yeah.
Sweet.
And you guys are also working on something new? Is that?
Stories of Teeth are the Motards.
The Motards.
Yeah. So the new lineup. So a couple of the members left and they've moved away and they didn't. We were thinking about reforming the Motards, but they were like, we don't want y'all to do that. So we just changed the name. So now it's John Motard after the singer. And we've been playing for about a year. I'm currently not playing with them right now because I've had knee injuries and they wanted to keep doing shows. And I was like, yeah, that's cool. Go ahead. So I'm not really sure. I was trying to get some releases out, but we're a bunch of lazy guys. So I haven't been able to get them into the recording mode. So we have a few new songs. So we'll see what happens.
Okay. And let's see.
Yeah, so if anybody doesn't know, the Motards were a band in like from 1993 to like I guess 97, right? You guys kind of broke up there for a bit.
Yep. Yeah, at that time I moved. The band was kind of Dave was moving to Chicago the next summer, and there were lots of things going on. So I kind of bailed and went to Beaumont to kind of try to screw my head on right. Didn't work, but tried it anyway. And when I got there, I started a band called the Put Downs. And so Dave and Toby started Super Secret, Secret Lovers. And we all went on. We've been playing music ever since. Dave actually was playing in Surfport for a while a couple years ago. That was his latest thing.
And how many records did the Motards have? And what were their names?
So the albums were Rock Kids and Saturday Night Special Ed. And those two were on Empty Records. And then afterwards, Toby released on his Mortville Records label, Stardom, which is an amalgam of the Motards. and that's a collection of all our 7 inches. So we had three full lengths and a whole bunch of 7 inches.
Okay. Nice. Hey, so how'd you get into punk rock anyway? What was your first album, you know?
I think the one that I remember having first was Subterranean Jungle by Ramones. I had heard other stuff before that, Black Flag, some early Black Flag. But actually, I grew up in a pretty bumfuck area of Texas. And so I didn't really have a lot of access to punk rock until I got like really, I mean, in high school, I was hearing a little bit of it, but not till I moved off to college is when I really started finding out about it and get a lot of Texas stuff, getting into like the Butthole Surfers and, I don't know, The Judies were a cool band. Seeing band local bands. Yeah. Dicks. Yeah, cool. You know the Dicks. I got a painting right there. That one right there is by Gary Floyd.
Nice. Nice.
I went to, he had a art opening in Austin a couple of years ago, and I picked that one up.
Fuck yeah, that's fucking cool, man.
Yeah,
I got actually, a painting I got a painting of Stephen Blickenstaff. He did the Cramps.
Oh wow, cool.
Thing. You know what I mean? Hey, look, man, I got it right here too. Hold on a second.
Oh, sweet.
See it?
Yeah, that's awesome, dude. Right on, that's cool. Yeah, I've got another one there. I don't know if you can see it. That this that's a Captain Beefheart. It's done by Tim Kerr, who played in the Big Boys in Austin.
Fuck yeah, man.
Yeah,
that's cool.
I collect them. I have a lot of art by local musicians who also do art. I've got one from Sean Powell. I don't know, he played in the Fucky Mo's here in Austin. He's playing a lot of bands. He's currently the drummer in Surfport out of New York City. So
shit. Fuck yeah.
Are you painting as well, or you just play?
I don't paint. No. Oh. No, if you look on the Stories of Two Bandcamp page, you see those ridiculously childlike little scribbles and stuff. That's what I do. That's
fine. Hey, so did the Motards play out at all, any?
Oh yeah, yeah. We got to tour a couple times, and like we were once invited to Japan, and that was really crazy because a guy from Thorazine magazine called me and said, "Hey, your interview in Maximum Rock and Roll got translated to a Japanese magazine, and there's a company over there that wants y'all to fly y'all out there." And I literally went, "Ha, okay, yeah, sure, let's do that. We'll go to Japan," because I didn't believe it at all. And told the band, and they're all like, "Oh my God, he's totally pranking you. Don't listen." And about a month later, we got tickets in the mail to fly to Japan. So
nice.
To go play there.
Well, that's right. I guess, yeah, except you can't go because your knee's all fucked up, right? Your legs.
Not now. No, not now. Yeah. No, that was way back when. That was in 96. We went to Japan.
How long did you tour there?
That was about 2 weeks.
2 weeks. Any good stories from that?
One of the guys, I can't remember which band it was. We played with a couple of bands, different shows, but one of the bands played with us two shows. And every night was really cool. After the show, all the bands would go, the company that was paying for it would take us out to a restaurant. And we'd all sit around a big table, sit on the floor, pass the food around like family style. It was real cool. But one of the guys in the band, every night he just said, "Yankee, go home. Yankee, go home. Yankee, go home." Like, yeah, all right. We're going next week. Okay. We got another few days. But yeah, it was fun. The people are all real nice and cool. I was the tallest person in Japan, apparently. I'm 6'2". So
how tall are you?
Literally, I was one of the tallest people there.
Any good vending machines when you're there?
Oh, yeah, yeah. That was the first time we saw, like, underwear. You could get underwear or panties in a vending machine.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and toys, all kinds of really cool toys. You know, like, toys from anime back then. So, yeah.
I've been getting lost in the YouTube videos of different vending machines.
Yeah, right.
They have, like, wedding rings and you name it. They
got everything. Mm-hmm. Why not here? Why
I like the beer one myself.
Right. Ramen noodle ones?
Yes. I just like nice. The coffee. You get the cup and you put it underneath and it fills it up.
Oh, wow. Hey, did you go to any other country?
We never didn't play in other countries. But there were like two different times I had bands that were on tour that were on the border with Mexico. So we went over to the border just having fun. Where were we playing? I guess it was El Paso. The Put Downs were playing in El Paso. We went across the border there to Ciudad Juarez, and that was really cool. And then I think Motards went to Tijuana when we were in San Diego one time. But never got to play there.
So the Stories of Teeth ever play out?
Rarely, because we're a two piece and we've had trouble. We've had a few guests. Well, we've had like 8 or 9, 10 different people play. Because we're both longtime area musicians, so we have lots of friends and bands. So we've had a few people play drums with us and record sometimes, and we've had a few bass players play with us, but it's never been anything either it wasn't a real good perfect match that we wanted to keep, or it was they were too busy to keep playing. So it's just me and Kobe Cardosa, and we're actually playing a show in 2 weeks at an art gallery in Austin. And that's going to be interesting. We've been working on that. So it's going to start out with some hardcore songs. And then at the third one, we're going to kind of break down in the middle and then just go off and do our own thing. And kind of, we got like 2 or 3 themes we're going to follow, but it's going to be like noise, rock. It'll get heavy. It'll get not quite so heavy, but mostly heavy.
So who's,
you got any crazy things?
Oh, what's that?
So who's our opening is that you're going to be playing?
Oh, let's see. One of the guys is Ruben Mendez, and he's been in bands in Austin as well. But it's at the Tin Whistle Art Gallery in Austin, and that's run by John Wesley Coleman, who is a longtime local songwriter, rocker. He was in a really cool band called the Golden Boys.
Okay.
And it's his art gallery, and every time they have an opening, they invite bands to play, so... Actually, that's why I was up very late last night, because I went to see John Wesley Coleman play a show. And afterwards, he asked if I could give him a ride home. And I thought, surely I can say yes and drop him off and get back home at a reasonable hour. But we went into his garage and had some refreshments, and I got home way, way too late last night.
Hey, it happens, man.
Yeah, right.
Hey, so you got any funny stories of the Motars days? Anything crazy happened in Japan or anything?
There were lots of crazy stories, but mostly we were a pretty hard drinking band at the time. And so once in Japan, we had a show and John had been drinking all day. I think a lot of us had been drinking all day, but John had been drinking a lot. So we get to the show and it's time for us to play, and John had passed out. And so I went to wake him up, and he did not want to wake up. And so I kind of started shaking him and slapping his face a little bit, saying, John, we got a show, dude. We got to wake up. And he woke up like this. So he might have got me a little bit a couple times, but I was just like, dude, we're playing. We've got to play. And he's like, oh. We got to play? Oh, shit. Okay, let's go. And, yeah.
Drink another beer.
Got up on stage. It was fine. Everything was good on stage.
You just cracked open another one and kept going?
Absolutely. That was our motto back then. Crack it open, keep going.
It's fucking punk rock, man.
Hell yeah.
Well, how did we get these albums? You guys still making these albums, or?
Well, not the Motards. Not the Motards. We went to so one time we went to my friend Kobe's house that I play Stories Teeth in, and like I said, he's always got everything set up to record. So we were recording just for fun, just kind of see what happened, and we recorded 2 of the new songs. So I'll put those on our Bandcamp page. And I was hoping we'd get to the studio, but like the other guys, I just can't get them to commit to going to a studio and getting the songs recorded. So if we could do that, we have some songs we could put out, but we'll see what happens.
So you got the old stuff on Bandcamp, though?
Some of it, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but all the albums have been released. They're online. You can listen to them anywhere.
Oh, okay.
And I've done, I don't remember if I've done the 7 inches, like the put downs. I went through our whole category and released all our albums and our 7 inches on like through CD Baby. So you can hear those on Spotify or anywhere, the put downs. And after that, I had another band, Scrabble Robot, and I put our stuff online. So I'm not going to make any money off of it ever. Like I'll get like $4 or $5 a year off that.
Did you guys do a 7-inch too?
I just like having it put out. Which band?
The Scrubber Robot.
Yeah, Scrubber Robot had a split 7-inch with a band called Open Casket, which was Toby from the Motards' other band.
You know, I had that. I didn't even know it.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that's why I was like, they hit my head. I was like, you know.
Yeah, those weren't our best songs. It was okay, but the cover art was insane. It was really cool. Art. I don't remember. It was a friend of Mike Dempsey. So Mike Dempsey played drums with me in the Put Downs, and he also plays in the new lineup of John Motard. And he has a cool band called Rebel Flesh. But it was somebody he knew that did it. And I love Mike Dempsey. He's cool, super cool dude. In fact, I don't have it with me, but his brother sent me a pedal this week. A guitar, like a distortion pedal that he made himself. And I was like stoked when he told me he was sending it to me. But then I got it and it's like, it looks real. It like he did a beautiful job on the art on it. And it's got two gain controls and low, mid, and high. And it's sick. It kind of reminds me of a rat pedal I used to play a long time ago.
Nice.
So you use a lot of different pedals in storage of teeth? Yeah.
So not a lot. In fact, I've never really used pedals up until this band. It was always, occasionally I would use like a distortion or overdrive on leads. But other than that, I never used pedals. But in this band, I got a delay and I've got a chorus and overdrive, two overdrives and one of those blue boxes. Fuzz octave pedal because like I said, Story's Teeth is a lot more all over the place. We make a lot of different sounds. So
do you ever get together with your old bands?
What's that?
Do you ever get together with your old bands, the pull-ups you mentioned, and anything else like that?
The Put-Downs, we've had a couple of reunions, but one of the guys lives across the state, like about 6 hours away, and so yeah, we haven't done anything with them. Scrabble Robot, one of the guys left the state, so yeah. Put Downs used to occasionally do a reunion show, but we haven't done one in a while.
All right.
Yeah, and then after that, I had Uh-Oh Romeo, and that was more kind of like a real just heavy rock band. We put out a couple albums, and that was here in this area, but that kind of fell apart last year. So actually, I injured my knee with Uh-Oh Romeo.
And so how do you injure your knee?
Well, that's a one. That's a good one. It was the last song in the set, and I sang and played guitar in that one. And the other guy went into the lead, and I jumped off the stage, and there was a picnic table in front, and I jumped on the picnic table, and I was all rocking out the rhythm while he's playing the lead. Everything good. Jumped off the stage, jumped on the table, jumped off the table. All good. Jumped on the stage and I turned to get to the microphone and my right foot stayed planted. Ooh. So I turned like that and immediately like excruciating pain. I still grabbed the mic and finished the song, but I tore my ACL and my meniscus. And so I had to have surgery on that. And everybody was like, dude, I hope you learn your lesson. You're not going to do this again. Right. And I was like, hell no. If I'm rocking out, I don't care, you know, I can't stop myself from doing that.
Right.
That surgery failed and I had another one. And now this summer I'm going to have total knee replacement. So now I'm like, fuck that. I'm not jumping off no stage anymore. If I even start jumping a little bit, somebody tackle me and hold me down.
Now, see, that's the crazy stories we're talking about, man.
So, actually, when we play in a couple of weeks, I was telling Kobe, I'm pretty sure I'm going to stay in a ch- I'm going to sit down to play because literally when I'm standing, if I'm playing, I can't stand still. I want to start jumping. I want to start spinning around. I want to because that's the way I always did it, you know.
That's part of the show, man.
Absolutely. And I'm not lying when I say I can't control it. You know, once it gets going and you're in that, I can't stop it. So,
yeah, play in recliner. That way you can just lay all the way back and play.
Hey, that's a good idea. I'll put that in my rider. Say I need a massaging recliner.
Hey, so what would you say your biggest influence is musically?
I don't know about a biggest influence, but for one, for sure, I grew up on country music, so I always in the back of my head have like the standard country rhythm. Like when I play rhythm in punk rock, I do a kind of country rhythm style. So like all the way back to Hank Williams, who I loved a lot, but I grew up on George Jones and Merle Haggard and Willie Nelson, of course, stuff like that. So broken heart songs are one of my primary topics in my songwriting, but punk rock, I like the simple stuff, like the Ramones and I don't know, Bad Religion. I always love Bad Religion. Yeah, I like I'm a big fan of everything. I read a book last year, my really cool, I'm sure you've read it, My Band Could Be Your Life. And that was so cool reading about bands like the Minutemen and Black Flag and all that when they started, what they were like and what they went through, Husker Du and Butthole Surfers and bands like that. It was really, really interesting to read that. See bands that get to that level, you know, they started off strong and they worked their ass off for it nonstop, you know. So
Nice. Just to let you know, we do have the 7 minute warning coming up here, but
all right, cool.
hey, so have you ever gotten to do any shows with the Butthole Surfers or the Dicks or
No,
anything
I wish.
notable, Texas?
I don't know how, are y'all familiar with the Big Boys?
That sounds
Little bit.
familiar.
Yeah, so the Big Boys were like a very seminal punk rock band, late 70s in Austin, Texas. So like all the punk rock bands in America on tour would come through Austin and they would play with the Big Boys. So they were really cool. They kind of had like a They were thrashy sometimes, but other times they had kind of a funk element to them, which was unusual. So like when the Red Hot Chili Peppers first started, they came here and they opened up for the Big Boys. But anyway, one of their guitar player was Tim Kerr. And since then, he's done a million bands. He was in Poison 13, which was also a very influential garage rock band here in the 80s. And then Jack of Fire was one he did. He's done a lot of bands. Anyway, he's recorded a lot of bands. So he was the one who became a fan of the Motards very early on, and he recorded our first two albums. And he was a big influence. And we've played with several of his bands, including a Poison 13 reunion, which was awesome. That was really cool. But
Huh.
yeah, not really. We didn't really play a whole lot with big bands.
So he's the one that did the Minor Threat song with the kids at school.
What's that?
I say he did like a thing with this elementary school.
Yes.
The
Yeah.
internet's amazing.
He's super awesome dude. He's like now he does acoustic old-timey music, kind of Irish inspired, which is just so crazy because of what all he's done in his life. He's done so many different things. But he started out punk rock, stayed punk rock, garage rock, and then he started doing like more noisy type things. And one of his bands, I can't, oh, he played with Mark Hammer, Mark Arm, Mark Arm in what was that band? Oh, shit. Yeah, I can't think of it.
What, Monkey Ranch?
Monkey Ranch. He was in
It's
Monkey Ranch.
the only one I'd
I was almost there. I was almost there.
come up with.
We just played them on the show.
Oh, cool. Yeah, he's been around. He's done so many things. So super cool dude. And he was very influential on us, giving us a lot of encouragement. Funny thing he always told us was all the time, he'd say, so he's like, I'm from Southeast Texas. And if I drink too much or if I drink enough, I'll really get into my old time voice way I used to talk, you know, out there in Southeast Texas. Well, Tim Kerr's got a beautiful Southern Texas drawl, and he would always say, "You know what the Motards need to do? Y'all need to play a show, but just put on your album and just pretend you're playing with it." And we'd be like, "What?" And he'd say, "Yeah, no, it'd be real cool. Y'all just get up there, put your album on, and pretend you're playing the music. I don't know why, but he always thought that would be really great. And I have to confess, I've always kind of wanted to do that ever since he said it. Maybe one day I'll do that.
Especially if you had enough beer, right?
Well, that's most shows I have enough beer.
Then you have somebody videotaping it, you know what I mean?
Yeah, right?
That's how the video is.
Yes.
Oh, wow.
Hey, so we do, do you drink beer by any chance?
I do drink beer, only after 5 p.m.
Because we do a beer testing and all that little thing on the show and all that. So what's your favorite beer, man?
Oh, okay. So I drink a lot of beer. So I usually drink cheap beer, which here in Texas is Lone Star. So I drink a lot of Lone Star. But if I'm drinking, if I want something nice, I drink like Love Street, which is a Carbach from Houston Brewery. Or I like Lawnmower from St. Arnold's. That's another Houston brewery that has a lot of really good stuff. I'm not a huge fan of the IPAs and all that. I'll drink it if it's free. But yeah, I usually like lagers. Our pilsners.
So what's your place what's your favorite place to go around around where you live?
Well, where I live is like a suburb of Austin, so there's nothing to do here. I go to Austin, but like if I was going to go have a drink this afternoon, I'd probably go to the Little Darling, which is a cool place in South Austin, or Yellow Jacket Lounge, which is more closer to downtown. Oh, Casino El Camino is a really super cool bar downtown, where they make the best burgers on earth. They're like, you got to be real hungry to eat the whole thing. It's like a big giant burger.
Oh, wow.
Casino El
Where's
Camino.
The best place to see bands?
Depends on what kind of bands you want to see and what you're doing. My favorite place is there's a pizza place on 43rd and Guadalupe in Austin called The Parlor. And they have free shows every Saturday afternoon, sometimes Sunday afternoon. And it's very not underground, but it's like not the bands that play all the clubs around. It's bands that play clubs, but it's also new bands that are just starting out or side projects or things like that. And a lot of the bands that play there are old school, like friends of mine who were playing in bands in the 90s, and it's their new projects and things like that. And there's not a lot of clubs that want to book bands like us. 50, 60 year old punk rockers, you know.
Hey, we're about to get cut off. Is there, okay. I just let you know so you can keep telling your story.
I will throw a couple things. The coolest club in the 90s was Blue Flamingo, and now it's Chess Club. It recently reopened, so that's a place to play. And then Beer Land, which was another awesome punk rock club, is now open as 13th Floor. And those are good places that will let bands play there. But yeah, other than that, it's mostly, you know, more Austin-y type bands and clubs.
Fuck yeah. Hey, Paul, we just want to say thanks a lot, man. We love you, buddy.
Definitely. Thank you.
Shut your face. No one's alive. told me it'd be true. So naive, I believed you. Well, now it's all for me to hear. When my heart tries to tell me that your love is near, why is it I can't get you out of my mind? Never lose a beat in my heart in a fight. Heartbreaker, take your dagger out of my heart. Heartbreaker, all I need's a brand new start. You don't care about me, why should I care about you? We'll be right back.
back, just searing your fucking mind.
process. I wanna be a mess. I don't wanna be on your hit list. And I don't wanna be messed up. You ain't gonna find me tits up. Push me around. Don't you push. Push me around. The crowd surrounds Cadmus' little frame. Policeman says, anybody know his name? This little man used to be a good top. Push me around. Don't you push. Push me around. Don't you push me around.